Justice Barrett has the opinion of the court in case 23411, Murphy versus Missouri.
This case is about social media, the pandemic, the 2020 election, and the government. As users of social media know, platforms like Facebook and X, which was called Twitter during the events of this lawsuit, have what are called misinformation and disinformation policies. They remove or tag certain content, and they demote or even deplatform certain users. During the pandemic, the major social media companies used these measures to target numerous posts, including those on the efficacy of vaccines, masks, and school lockdowns. And during the run-up to the 2020 election, the social media companies also targeted certain election-related posts, including those suspected of having a connection to Russia. Well, the social media companies weren't the only ones concerned about the spread of misinformation and disinformation about COVID-19 and the 2020 election. The federal government shared that concern, and certain actors and agencies within the government were not shy about communicating it to the platforms. This case focuses on five federal entities: the White House, the Surgeon General's Office, the CDC, the FBI, and the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, which is easier to call CISA. Officials at the White House interacted with the platforms in public and in private about vaccine misinformation. They argued, and sometimes aggressively, that the platforms should do more to suppress that content. For example, one official frustrated that Facebook had not removed a post complained, "Last time we did this dance, it ended in an insurrection." Perhaps as a way to get the platforms on board, the plaintiffs alleged that certain officials, including the White House press secretary, raised the possibility of legal reforms aimed at the platforms. The Surgeon General's office and the CDC also focused on COVID-19 misinformation, though in less intense fashion than the White House. The Surgeon General, through health advisories and public statements, encouraged the platforms to tamp down on COVID-19 misinformation. And the CDC alerted the platforms to misinformation trends, flagged example posts, and fact-checked certain claims. Meanwhile, before the 2020 presidential election and the 2022 midterms, the FBI and CISA brought election-related misinformation to the platform's attention. For instance, false claims about voting and potential Russian hack and leak operations. The plaintiffs in this case, two states and five individual social media users, claim that various platforms suppressed their COVID-19 or election-related posts. But this suit is not against the platforms. It is against the government entities that I just discussed. They argue that these government entities are responsible for censoring their protected speech in violation of the First Amendment. Put differently, as in the Vulo case we decided a few weeks ago, the plaintiffs claim that the government successfully pressured private parties to suppress their speech. The Fifth Circuit agreed. It held that the government defendants coerced or significantly encouraged the platform's moderation decisions and preliminarily enjoined them from doing so again in the future. We can only reach this merits question if at least one plaintiff establishes standing to seek an injunction against at least one of the government defendants. Those defendants are not a monolith. They must each be considered independently. Article 3 of the Constitution limits the jurisdiction of federal courts to cases and controversies. And a proper case or controversy exists only when a plaintiff establishes standing. That means that she must show that she has suffered or will suffer an actual or imminent injury caused at least in part by the challenged action, and that a court can remedy with a favorable ruling. So here, that means that at least one of these plaintiffs must show that her speech was suppressed at least partly due to government pressure, and that a federal court can do something about it. The plaintiff's injuries depend on the platform's moderation decisions, yet they seek to enjoin only the government defendants. And that makes them face two particular challenges. First, federal courts cannot remedy injuries that result from the independent actions of a third party. So the plaintiffs must show that their injuries stem from the government defendants' actions, not just the platforms. And recall, the platforms had their own content moderation policies. Second, because the plaintiffs request forward-looking relief is like an injunction preventing government defendants from doing this again in the future, they must face at least a substantial risk of future injury that is traceable to the government defendants and likely to be remedied by an injunction against them. No plaintiff has done so. They rely heavily on the fact that the platforms have suppressed their speech in the past, allegedly due to government pressure. But because the plaintiffs only seek forward-looking relief, these past injuries are only relevant insofar as they are evidence of the likelihood that these injuries will continue in the future. And besides, even when we're thinking about the past, the plaintiffs largely fail to link their past social media restrictions to the government defendants' communications with the platforms. In some cases, the defendants' interaction with the platform postdated the platform's action against the plaintiff. And in others, a government entity communicated with a different platform than the one that suppressed the plaintiff's speech. In still others, the content of the defendant's communication did not line up with the action that the platform took against the plaintiff. But even if the plaintiffs, even one of them, managed to eke out a showing of traceability for their past injuries, their suit still cannot go forward. Most of the plaintiffs are interested in posting about COVID-19. Yet the frequent, intense interactions between the relevant government defendants and the platforms about the pandemic occurred primarily in 2021. By 2022, when the plaintiffs sued, these communications had slowed to a trickle, which makes sense given that the pandemic had largely receded by that point. The plaintiffs can only speculate that the platforms will continue to suppress their COVID-19 content at the behest of the defendants. And recall, that's the White House, Surgeon General's office, or the CDC. Likewise, the one plaintiff with an interest in speaking about elections must rely on a speculative chain of possibilities to establish a likelihood of future harm traceable to the FBI or to CISA. And that does not suffice for standing purposes. Finally, even if the platforms continue to suppress the plaintiff's speech under policies that were initially adopted due to government pressure in the past, an injunction stopping the government defendants from pressuring the plaintiffs is unlikely to remedy that injury. The pressure from the government has largely stopped, and the evidence shows that the platforms have continued to enforce the content moderation policies anyway. So an injunction against the government defendants would not remedy the plaintiff's harm. For these reasons and others set forth in our opinion, we reverse the judgment below and remand the case for proceedings consistent with it. Justice Alito has filed a dissenting opinion, which Justice Thomas and Justice Gorsuch have joined.